I rise above reality. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. I rise above reality. It's a wonderful thing to rise above reality. Reality is, on the relative level, that which limits us. It limits us because we call it reality, and it really is just a joke. It's just an illusion. It's just something that we, but just, well, you mean when I got a cold, it's just an illusion? When I have my appendix out, that's just an illusion? When I have my teeth knocked out because somebody socked me in the puss, that's just an illusion? That's a pretty tough illusion, you know? Yep. Because your teeth really aren't knocked out. In your archetypal body, in your real self, your reality, it goes beyond the word reality here, you're all there. You're all there. If Mr. Carillion, you know Mr. Carillion? Mm-hmm. You don't know Mr. Carillion? You have missed an exciting adventure. Right. Mr. Carillion's from Russia. And he created a photography system in which he takes pictures of the hand, showing the energy patterns of the hand and the body and the whole shooting match. Well, anyhow, forgot what I was going to say. If Mr. Carillion was here, he would take a picture of your face with the teeth knocked out, and they would be there. The energy body of your teeth is never separate from your reality. Your reality is always there. In fact, if we would really have Mr. Carillion take a picture of our physical body, of our energy body, of our face or hands or whatever, we would be quite surprised as to what we look like. Mm-hmm. We do not look like what we think we look like. We are putting on a facade because we think that's our reality. We're putting on a facade because we think that, that's what we are supposed to do. Now, what do you do when you hug a person who is very skinny? You say, why don't you put on some weight, you know? And what do you do when you hug a person who's very fat? You say, why don't you take off some weight, you know? And when you hug a person who's just right, you don't think of anything. You just hug and hug and hug and hug and say, that's nice, you know? Although, Christina and Monica, yeah, sure, Rhonda here are good huggers, and they're good to hug, even though they don't give you much to work with, you know. We love them. We love them. We see them holding perfect. We see them fantastic. Because I give you an extra measure. So what you don't have, I got to make up for it. And that's kind of fun, too, you know. Yeah. You know, there's a song that used to be popular in the 50s, 40s, and 50s. It's, I love my mama, you know, my sweetheart, and she's a big lady, and I have my chalk, and I go hugging and a-chalking and a-hugging and a-chalking all the way around to make sure that I cover the whole thing, you know, and I'm just hugging and a-chalking. And it's a charming song. It's a song that went over well at the time and lasted its season. And as all songs seem to do, they go out of season after a while. Although the songs of my youth and my teenage years and of my mature years, I remember very much with love, and I remember very much with the joy of hearing them again and again. Although the songs of my son's genre were entirely different, and that included the Beatles and a few others, and they're all right, but you know, they just weren't my thing. And that's the trouble. We have our thing. We have our time. We have our experience of where we think that life is wonderful and life is good. And that's our reality. But is it reality? It is only our illusion that we live through or lived through, and we think that it is where everything is at. Now, I'm a stickler for making comments and having the comments be carried out point per point. Now, we were just talking to Joseph on the phone here, and I had said to Joseph at least 50 times, please call once a week. I'm happy to honor your calls once a week, but it costs us a good deal of money with all the calls that you make and how long you talk, and then you call back right away because you want to get another half hour in and stuff. And I said, please don't do that. I said, we respect your call, but hello, how are you? It's nice to talk to you. Goodbye, you know. We're not having philosophical lectures over the phone because that's not our purpose here. The purpose of spending the money of the university is not on that. It's on ice cream and cake and candy and stuff like that, you know.
That's right.
The unimportant things, you know. But we cannot do that if we're going to excessively do it. Well, now, aside from that, I say to him, please call once a week. And so then he calls every 20 minutes and says, hi, just to say I love you. You don't have to pick it up or anything, because it comes through. You know, it comes through that little coded area, and he's found that out. And he says, I love you, and bye-bye, you know. And occasionally I'll pick it up, and I'll say, you know the rule. You're not supposed to. And then he talks for the entire half hour, but I let him. And I shouldn't do that. Now, why do I create him doing that? Why do I create him being discourteous of the rules here at the monastery that I have made? Why do I create him doing things like he did, which he shouldn't do? I create him doing that because it's a lesson to all of us. I say, please don't take the telephone, Ingeborg. Don't take the telephone, Ellen, when he calls, unless you want to. You know, if you really want to, you go ahead and take it. If you really want to talk to him, if you've got something to say to him, go ahead and take it. And then there's nothing wrong with that. He's a good guy. But the thing is, if every one of our students were to call us collect and talk as long as he does, we would be so pissed off, we'd get out of the business. You know, we would. We would get out of the business. Because just to talk about how he weightlifts and how he does this and how he does the other thing and then how he wants to have a better relationship with his girlfriend, but he's not ready to give in to be it and stuff like that, that's not what we're here to hear. We're here to say, JJ, you want a good relationship with your girlfriend? Speak your word and say, I am now the kind of man that my girlfriend loves. I live my life harmoniously with everything that makes her feel fulfilled and good. I am a beautiful person, you know. And then it'll take place. You don't have to have me say, yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. If you have me do that, that merely makes you feel good for me. You want to feel good from her. So what you have to do is put the cause in motion for your relationship with her. Because your relationship with me gets strained as you do that, while your relationship with her gets maintained if you do it properly. This is very important for all of us. And I used to get after Sylvia. She had a number of ladies who would call up again and again and again. They had no interest in being students. They wanted to counsel, but they didn't want to counsel. They wanted to tell her all their garbage. And I said, Sylvia, don't do that. Just tell them whenever they say something, all is in divine order, and whatever is the right order. So finally, Sylvia got to that point, and then she told him, all is in divine order. And the next thing you know, they started having everything in divine order, because that's what Sylvia demanded of them from us. And they began to realize that that's what they had to do. Now, when I tell stories about any of you, it makes you feel kind of insecure and makes you feel a little unhappy with me for telling the stories, but it's a fact. It's just like I say to Sylvia, Sylvia, when you fill up the dog's bowl, fill it up all the way. And you don't do that, because I go and look after you filled it, and it's not done. When you fill up the bird's container, fill it up all the way. Well, I did. And then Sylvia says to me, well, getting the top off is kind of tough. And so, obviously, Sylvia had not taken the top off. Obviously, she had not. She couldn't have, because it's all glass. There's no way to pour anything in there. So she is shitting me, you know. She's pulling my leg. She's giving me a hard time. And that is not acceptable. I don't honor that. I don't honor that at all. I don't honor that at all. And when Ingeborg tells me things that she has done, I don't honor that either. Because Ingeborg says, well, I stopped being argumentative. And then I said, well, what were you arguing about? Oh, Paul, who? Shush. You said you stopped being argumentative. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear what the arguments are. I don't want to hear what anyone did wrong. All I want to know is what you did right. And if you tell me what somebody else did wrong, you did it. You're the culprit. You're the mean one. Even if they were the ones that hit you over the head with a baseball bat, you're the mean one, you know? Because you didn't shut your mouth. You didn't shut your mouth. And if you will speak your word always for truth and love and joy and purity, then your reality will change from the illusion of unhappiness to happiness. From the illusion of things not done right to things done right. You see, when people hit me in the face with something, I say, hey, I'm not stupid. And you can't do that because you hurt yourself. Like I said about the bottles of water here for the birds. Do you have any more fluid left? You know, did you fill it up? Yeah, I filled it. Well, you didn't fill it because it was about two-thirds empty. I mean, one-third empty. So don't give me that kind of stuff, you know. Don't ever talk to me like that. It's true, Sylvia came down and worked on my computer and made it run. It's true, Sylvia has come down and done many things for me and many lovely things. And if Sylvia ever feels that she doesn't want me to say things about what I believe in, then I won't. But then our learning situation is done. Our relationship is done. I don't get mad at Sylvia because I hate her. Because if I hated anybody, which I don't know how to do, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. I wouldn't talk to them. I wouldn't give them the time of day. Because I will not allow hate to be in my world. None of us should ever allow disliking or hating another person to be in our world because it makes us look terrible. It makes us look terrible. Right, Ingeborg?
Yes.
Where are your lips? Yeah, see, you can have a very lovely smile when you want. But let's do that more often, okay?
Yeah, but now it's just...
Are you going to tell me something? Are you going to stick your nose in there and get it cut off? Ooh-wee. Talk to me privately if you like, okay? If you have a problem that really needs attention, you come talk to me, okay? You're all free to come and talk to me anytime. I'm happy to stop doing whatever I'm doing, and I have said this before and again and again and again. You walk through that door, and I can be talking to the Pope, and I'll say, hey, boy, I got one of my kids here. He says, I understand.
You know? I gave you the open and all.
And so I'm going to talk to you guys whenever you have a need, and I might even be sitting on the John, and I'll get off for you. You know? But I sincerely mean this. If you want to talk to me, come and talk. And Christina... is an idiot, you know. She could stop in for 5 or 10 minutes every day or longer and talk about whatever's on her heart. And Rhonda, she's afraid of me. She's afraid to come in and talk. She thinks that she's bothering me. Well, Rhonda, would you do anything to bother me at any time? Then don't worry about it, right? Okay. But also be considerate. Be considerate. Have something in your mind. I don't want you to sit there and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yeah, I know that. I know that. And if you don't love me, you shouldn't be here. You know? And if I don't love you, I shouldn't be here, you know? But I love you, I love... It's like two sick dogs, you know, like with JJ and you on the phone. I love you, dear. I love you, too. I held you, dear. I hold you, too. And I mean, my goodness sakes, he's got all the time. When he's talking here to the campus, we are not talking like that. He should say, when I was working on a new project of thinking positive thoughts, I was talking, you know, like Roger Perry does.
Yes.
Roger Perry tells how he works with the other students there, and who are not even students, but his students, and how he's helping them to come to a new understanding of themselves. And that's good stuff, you know, good stuff. We are not here to schlabber, you know. And Ingeborg used to kiss very wet kisses. And we said, Ingeborg, knock it off. Dry your lips and then kiss, you know. And, well, we're not doing any French kissing. There's no place for the wet lips. So just dry them off. And I have never had a French kiss from any of you. And in fact, I'm not anticipating it. I'm not anymore. But what we want to do is we want to always be on top of ourselves. We're recording all this stuff. I hope that whoever listens to this is having as much fun as we are. But it's true. This is what it's all about. I rise above reality, which is the appearance, the illusions of every day, and I speak my word of truth and love and joy and perfect principle. And when I do that, everything works out beautiful. Everything works out beautiful. Now, the other day, I didn't wear my Santa Claus hat to the restaurant in El Cajon. And Ellen said to me, why don't you wear your Santa Claus hat to El Cajon? I said, Ellen, I don't ask you, why don't you wear your skirt or why don't you wear this or something else like that. I just, knock it off. And Ellen says, well, I just thought that that was very nice. I said, Ellen, I have my reasons. Well, what are your reasons? You know? And I said, oh, how interesting. Yeah. I said, my reasons are because I cannot make a fuss over myself in that way in El Cajon or anywhere else. I cannot do that. And she, oh, you really think so? I said, sure. I said, I am just the head of the school here. I am not Santa Claus, you know. When I'm away from here, I'm in other areas and so forth, I can be anything I want to be, you know. But here I am a gentle, staid, ordinary person who is not the Santa Claus type. And that's great. And it's wonderful. And I know my place and I know what I'm to do and I do it well. I follow my rules and you should follow your rules. And the sooner you start following your rules, the happier you're going to be, the richer you're going to be, and the more content you're going to be with everything in your life. You see, I rise above reality means that whatever the illusions are around me that I call my reality, I don't let them manipulate or control me. The illusions I call my reality, I recognize as illusions. And if I like them, it's cool. If I don't like them, I close my eyes to them and they don't exist for me. So where is your reality? Where is what you turns you on? And Rhonda is complaining about relationships and so forth. But the minute she has a chance to put her foot down, she sticks it firmly into her mouth. And this is okay, because that's her choice. But she shouldn't lie to herself. Because if she lies to herself, she's going to be at odds with herself. She's going to be unhappy with herself for not fulfilling what she feels she should do. But what she feels she should do is not what she really wants to do. So she shouldn't play that game with herself. She loves JJ, so she should just admit it. She has certain decisions of how the relationship is to go, and that's her business. She can have those conditions to her relationship. That's perfectly fine. But you shouldn't take it out from the point of view that somebody else is manipulating you. Because you're the great manipulator. You're the one who's setting the thing up, and that's great. And there's nothing wrong with it. But don't complain. Don't complain. And we do this. We complain all too often. And we think it's everybody else's fault because what we complain about takes place. And we put the cause in motion. Like I said to Ingeborg, do not tell me when anyone does anything that they shouldn't be doing. Because if I'm to hear about it, I will. And don't ever be the tattletale. Don't ever tell me. You come and tell me what you would like to do better. You come and tell me what you would like to improve in your life. And I'll be right there with all sorts of support on your spiritual path to guide you to do that. I won't guide you. I won't tell you. But I'll get you in the proper statement for yourself. Because you have to make yourself happy by whatever decision you make. And you know, you're old enough. You're old enough to do that. Mm-hmm. Even if you're 1 year old, you're old enough to do that. And we should take that responsibility, all of us. And if anybody points any fingers around here, you know, I have my axe. Off go the fingers. You know, these Indians, that they want us to go see their Indian thing, part of their ceremonial is cutting off their fingers. Oh. Now, what a stupid thing to do. Oh. You know, what a stupid thing to do. Then you lose your own fingers. You know, but this is what people do and what people think and how people act. And that's what you are doing when you are picking on somebody else saying that they are not nice. You are cutting off your fingers. Because you are taking away that sensitivity of you, which looks at the other person and sees them as an appearance rather than the joy of your heart. You know? So just look at anybody in your world and say, aren't they beautiful? And to yourself. You say it to somebody else, they'll say, what's the matter with you? Can't you see? I mean, they're not good at all. But you say it to yourself. And when you say it to yourself, you know what's going to happen? They not only are good, but they're going to appear good to others too. Because you will be drawing the goodness out of them out of them into their outer effect in life. And the world will look at them and say, gee, I miscalculated that person. They really are fantastic. Wouldn't it be nice if you were part of an illusion that changed like that? Hmm? Pretty nice, wouldn't it? Okay, my loves, we have done very nicely here. Mm-hmm. I rise above reality. Our number is 611. And just have yourself a great day. And the instant illusion, instant inspiration? Instant illusion. The instant illusion illustration.
That's what we are talking about.
That, we'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same station. And I love you, I love you, I love you.